Wondering whether moving to rural France is for you and what some of the pitfalls might be? Well, as someone who did just that and left a busy life in the UK in exchange for life in the country, I'm sharing some of the pros and cons of living the French dream. Now, most people imagine that we spend our days drinking great wine, eating amazing cheese, buying fresh croissants every day, and okay, so that last part I probably do, but most of us don't live our lives that way. The reality is a little bit different. Real life is never quite the same as being on holiday, and it certainly takes some adjustment, but the big question is, was it worth it? Well, before I tell you, I do want to remind you to go to lifeinruralfrance.com/podcast, where you will discover everything you ever wanted to know about France and some. Plus, you'll better find everything I speak about in each episode on that particular page. And you'll better sign up for special offers I hear about, you know, deals on hotels, tours, and so much more. Bonjour and welcome to the Life in Rural France podcast. I'm Kylie Lang, a British blogger living in the beautiful Charente region of rural France with my long-suffering hubby Richard and border collie Lottie. Now, unlike most people, moving to France hasn't always been my dream, but that didn't stop me jumping at the chance when hubby, who has never lived anywhere other than Leeds, England, suggested we go live in France. And 6+ years later, we're still here, living in a property we've renovated and a life that if you told me 10 years ago I'd be leading, I would not have believed you. But it's not all about me on this podcast. I'm going to be sharing the hidden gems I've discovered in France, some fascinating stories about French history, and plenty of culture thrown in for good measure. So I invite you to join me on this journey of living in a tiny French commune, getting to grips with learning French, singing to ABBA in the fields, walking my dog, and discovering the joys of the rural life. One thing I can promise you is it won't be boring. And who knows what we might discover together on this roller coaster ride of life in rural France. You know, I've met a lot of people who fell in love with the idea of living in rural France whilst, you know, vacationing. And then they have this really rude awakening when they take the plunge. And it's definitely not for everyone. In fact, I'll be really honest, when I first moved over, oh my goodness, I was convinced that I would be running back to the UK every chance I got. I'd fully planned for maybe doing 6 months in France and 6 months somewhere else because I didn't think I would be able to handle the rural life. So what is the reality like? Is it really all sunflowers, good wine, all that sort of stuff? Or is that just an illusion dreamt up by the Francophiles? Well, after having lived here for nearly 7 years now, I can quite honestly say that this absolutely feels like home. I cannot imagine living anywhere else, but, and this is a big but, the road has definitely not always been a smooth one, and there's been bumps across the way. So, really what I want to do on this episode is help you understand a little bit more about rural life and the French countryside, and I'm going to give you 7 different things to think about, just in case you're thinking about taking the plunge, or if you just want to have a good laugh at some of the funny things that have happened to me. So the first thing you really need to get your head around is 24-hour opening does not exist in France. So when you move to rural France, you've got to prepare yourself for a slower pace of life. So that includes things like 2-hour lunch breaks, shops not opening on a Sunday, and strictly adhering. And when I say strictly, I mean strictly adhering to opening and closing times. And trust me, oh God, this used to drive me insane when I first moved over here. The number of times I've been into Marle, that's my nearest town, it's about 10 kilometers away, you know, to go to the bank or pharmacy, only to find them shut. It's pretty standard in the country areas. Most places are going to close between midday and 2. So if you're thinking of going to the bank in your lunch hour, forget it. But you know what used to really drive me insane was the hours set by the French tradesmen and builders. So if you've listened to the first episode, you'll know that we were renovating our barns and our workmen would turn up at around, if we were lucky, 9:30 in the morning, sometimes 10. Then by the time they'd have a coffee, had a chat with us, they downed tools at midday and wouldn't come back until 2. Then to add insult to injury, They'd finish for the day at 4:30. So if I was lucky, and I mean really lucky, they might do a 5-hour day. I'll be honest, I struggled with it for quite a while. And then I kind of just realized there was there was no use fighting it. This is France. And I have to accept it, good or bad, because I've chosen to live in their country. And if I wanted to avoid a permanent headache, I needed to accept it. But then when you think about it, it's actually really rather nice. When you slow things down and stop running on that treadmill of life at about 100 miles an hour, you start to appreciate the French way of life. Now, you will never see my neighbour, Stefan, throwing his lunch down at top speed to get back on the job. No. He has a proper meal at lunchtime. Worryingly, often with a glass of something stronger than orange juice, which has always freaked me out, especially when they do plumbing or electricity work or, you know, something like that. I know all this because my hubby now works with Stefan. He's done this for, I think, just over a year now. And Stefan is one of those people, I think I said it on the last episode, he is like the French version of Del Boy. And if you've never seen it, Google Only Fools and Horses, classic English humor. And Stefan's a white boy. He does a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything, really. But he's very good at pointing and he's very good at those sort of rough building jobs that nobody else wants to do. He's done a lot of work in my house and he's done it very well. And now hubby is becoming handy as well, which is great because our house is over 200 years old and there's always something that needs doing to it. Now, I should also mention Sunday shopping hours. So it's a bit like being back in the 80s when nothing was open on a Sunday. I don't know if you are that old, but I am. And I used to hate it when I was a kid because it always felt like there was nothing to do. Now, however, I relish my Sundays with nothing to do. Seriously, the only thing there is to do is go out for lunch, go to a local bar, relax, go on picnics, bike rides, host barbecues in the summer, or like I do in the winter, just cook up a storm. I've even taken to making my own pastes. Now, when I say pastes, I mean Indian pastes. Because in the UK, you could literally, like I'm sure you can in many different countries, just get those jarred Indian pastes and whack together a quick Indian easy enough. Not the case here. They ain't into Indian in France. So if you want Indian food, you've got to make it yourself. And oh my God, it tastes so much better when you do. So we now know 24-hour opening is not a thing. What about socializing with your plumber? I kid you not. Life here is different in rural France. You don't have that usual cohort of friends, you know, the ones you can normally rely on for those quick shopping trips, you know, coffee, going to the gym, drinks at local bar. It's not the same when you relocate because you've got to start all over again. And you have to get used to socializing in a slightly different way until you're confident enough to really immerse yourself in the French community. So it's actually quite normal over here to befriend your local tradie. Hairdresser, real estate agent, you know, any of those people. One of my closest friends in France is my hairdresser, Nikki. And I was introduced to her by another client of hers. And now we go everywhere together. We have great days out. Our most recent one, we went for a day out in Bordeaux. Got a bit drunk, actually. But it was great fun. And, you know, the thing is, your friend circle is smaller. So spending New Year's Eve with your plumber and his wife isn't that unusual. It's what we did in our first full year of living in France. Our plumber took pity on us and invited us for New Year's Eve. Now, though, here in Chez-le-Coq, where I live, we actually have a rather lovely Chez-le-Coq community. So on the right-hand side of my house is Benoit. Benoit's fab. Benoit can turn his hand to anything. He's got sheep that he puts on our land, which is great because it means we don't have to actually bother doing anything with it because the sheep look after it. It's great. Benoit's probably about 40 years old. He's so easygoing. It's great. He finds me hilarious because my French is so bad and hubby's is better. Then on my other side, we have Simon. Now, Simon is English. But Simon lives in Berlin. So he spends half his time in Berlin, actually more than half, probably 3/4 of his time in Berlin and the other quarter here in France. So he's no bother and we all get on really well anyway. Next door to him is Alan. Alan comes from England. And then up from him is Claude. Across from him is Jenny from the block. There is a reason we call her Jenny from the block. Jenny loves to dance in little red hot pants and in front of my husband. And that's how she managed to earn the name Jenny from the Block. Anyway, that's Jenny. And then right at the top is Christoph, who is Stefan's brother. And around the other side, you've got Ewan with a big white shaggy dog. And then you've got Stefan. So we have this lovely community where we all get together. Well, Claude doesn't tend to. Neither does Christoph. It's usually Alan, Simon, Stefan, hubby and I. And then Anne, who's the French Parisian lady from, well, as I say, she's Parisian. She moved from Paris a little while ago in the next village down called Chez Bouty. And we usually get together and have a lot of barbecues and parties in the summer. It is fabulous. But it wasn't always like that. We really had to look for friends. And the best thing that happened was my husband, poor long-suffering Richard, he decided to start walking football. Let me just clarify, walking football, not running, walking. Although they did kind of look like they're running. It was one of the best things he did because he met loads of people and it was predominantly English. So it was a great way of building our network when we first started off. Now, though, I'm proud to say I have plenty of French friends as well. So moving on, something you have to get used to here in the French countryside is la chasse. La chasse is the hunt. Now, I'm sure not everybody will like to hear this, but I'm in France and there is nothing I can do about it. I'm not a lover of it, but the hunt happens and it happens every single year. And you could quite easily get shot by the chasse. Hunting, shooting, it's huge here in rural France. And trust me, there would be uproar if they tried to ban it. So through the autumn and winter months, the hunters, otherwise known as la chasse, they are out en masse. And they're shooting at everything in sight, including themselves sometimes. I'm always much more careful when I'm walking Lottie. Lottie's my border collie during these months because she could so easily get shot at. She's still really fast and she's black and white. And so it would be very easy for her to get shot. And the chasse aren't fussy. They hunt everything from deer to wild boar. And health and safety? It's a phrase that does not exist in their vocabulary. It isn't unusual for passers-by to get shot by mistake. In fact, it was only a few weeks ago I read that a shooter in the chasse had actually shot his wife in the backside. She was walking in front of him and he'd got his gun slung over his shoulder and it went off and shot her in the bum. So yeah, you have to be really careful. Alcohol is involved. So during the lunch, the hunters will have alcohol. And that's when all the problems tend to occur. So you're kind of taking your life in your own hands if you venture into their path during hunting season. One of the things I do, number four here, one of the things I absolutely love about living in France is the local markets. So you have to get your head around the fact that seasonality is alive and well here. So fresh fruit and veg, huge part of life in rural France. Food is seasonal. So what's available is based on what's being grown and it can change on almost a weekly basis. So one Sunday you might go to the market and you'll see a stall packed with tomatoes. The next, that stall might be selling something completely different. It adds to a whole other level of tastiness to your cooking though, because the fruit and veg here, oh my goodness, they have so much flavour. And we're lucky enough to have those weekly food markets. I think I added up the other day that I could go to a different local market every day of the week if I wanted to. It's just one of those things that you have here in France. And all the food is fresh. So there's no perfectly shaped carrots or cleanly scrubbed potatoes. They're fresh from the ground. So we're used to making sure that we don't buy too much of things because they don't tend to last very long. And this is really due to the farmers not using pesticides. How good's that? You know, you need to eat things within a couple of days of purchase. Brings a whole other level to organic food. Oh, I've never tasted anything like it since I was a kid. The radishes, when you get them here, oh, they taste unbelievable. And food markets aren't the only kind of markets you'll find here either. The French are big on their brocantes. So a brocante, I kind of liken it more to an upmarket jumble sale. Some people call them vintage markets, but you'll find one on nearly every weekend over the summer. So a brocante, often takes over an entire field, and there's just rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of stalls. Now, if you don't get there early, you're likely to find a load of junk. And honestly, the amount of times I've been to one, and there was one I went to, and this French bloke was selling one shoe. Thinking, well, who's going to buy one shoe? What about the other one? Absolutely bizarre. I mean, you can pick up some good finds. It's where I get most of my nice china from, my nice French china. You can pick up little coffee sets for like 10 euros, and they're beautiful. And some of the furniture that you get at these brocantes, you know, so you can get some good deals at the brocantes. But my favorite thing is the night markets. So over the summer, most villages will host a night market. And the night markets, the mairie, which we'll talk about in a minute, actually, they will provide benches, tables, benches with chairs, etc., for you to set up. So the idea is you go to the night market, there'll be food stalls. Often you can pick out the meat that you want to eat and they'll cook it fresh there for you. There's often entertainment on, and it's just a wonderful, fun evening. The entire community gets together. You've got all these tables set up to be able to sit and bring picnics. Some people, oh my goodness, don't even have candelabras on the table. It's absolutely wonderful. But it's that feeling of community in those warm summer evenings. And, you know, there's usually where we are in the Charente, cognac is huge because cognac's only 45 minutes away. So there's usually stores selling cognac, Pinot, which is the local wine here. There's just so much to enjoy. And often you'll get a lot of the Limousin beef, which is one of the departments just up from us. So those night markets are a wonderful thing to attend in the summer months. So we talked about the fact that 24-hour shopping isn't a thing. Neither is same-day delivery. My friend Caroline, who has been here to visit me 5-6 times now, she couldn't quite get over it when she said, oh, we could just order it on Amazon. It can, yeah, we'll get it in an hour or so. And Caroline, there is no such thing as next day delivery, let alone same day delivery. And as for getting it in an hour, you're having a laugh. So we don't have next day delivery. We do have Amazon, but more often than not, things take 2, sometimes 3 days. That's standard in the rural areas. And it's just something you have to get used to. And in all honesty, it isn't really a problem. I keep reminding myself, I grew up in a decade without mobile phones. There was no online shopping. We didn't have Wi-Fi. There was no social media. We didn't even really have home delivery unless you counted Kay's catalogue. And then, of course, the milkman. And guess what? We survived. So same-day delivery is not a necessity, and it certainly doesn't spoil my enjoyment of living in France. However, number 6 on the list did cause me to get a few grey hairs. Slow internet. No, I won't lie. The internet was the bane of my life when, really, for the first 4 years when I moved to France. We now have fibre in our little village of Saint-Florent. In fact, we were one of the first villages to get it, which was like, hallelujah, someone's listening to me. But it was quite the journey. Now, as you can imagine, running an online business, I need reliable Wi-Fi. It's kind of crucial. And in hindsight, maybe I should have done a speed test when we came to view the property, but I didn't. I did ask. I asked the person we were buying it from, I said, you know, is the internet good here? And she said, yes. So, you know, that was enough for me. I was too busy falling in love with the gorgeous beams and the barns waiting for me to renovate them to be worried about practicalities like that. I asked the question. She said it was good. But then I realized her version of good and my version of good was something totally different. But even if I had done a more thorough check, it wouldn't have made a difference. I was in love with the property, so nothing was going to change that. But we now have fiber, and a lot of the villages now throughout the more rural areas have fiber as well. So it is a lot stronger. It's a lot more reliable. We're with Bouygues, which is, I always used to call it Bouygues. It's not, it's Bouygues. Bouygues Telecom. But there's some other good providers like Orange and SFR. So really, it is one of those things that you need to check out before you move, and you need to make sure that you get the right mobile network, because the only one we have that works is Bouygues. I get nothing on Orange or SFR or Free or any of them. So you need to do that bit of homework before you move over here. Number 7, I would say one of the most important things you can do is to befriend your local mayor in your French commune. So I mentioned this just now, but here in France, every little village has a church and they have a mairie. So the mairie is like the administrational hub for everything in your municipality, really. And the mayor has an office in the mairie. And that mairie is literally in Saint-Front, up the village. And they have quite a bit of power. So if, for example, you want to apply for an extension on your house, you need to get permission from your local mairie. In fact, pretty much anything like that needs permission. And we had an experience with this not long after we moved here. So we'd noticed there was a bit of a smell occurring every time the dishwasher or the washing machine were running. And we discovered it was because the drains were emptying right outside the house. And it smelled like rotten eggs. It was gross, especially in the summer. So the answer was to run new pipework so the drains would empty away from the house in the field across the road. But to do this, we needed the pipes to go under the road that runs in front of our property. Now, I should just mention that drainage systems in France are a little bit different. We have something called a fosse. We're not on mains drainage. It's really quite disgusting, but that's something for another day. Now, our little road that runs in front of our property has practically no traffic. The only people who use it tend to be the post lady, the delivery vans, or just people that live in Chez-le-Coq. Or the odd nosy walker. But busy or not busy, we still needed to dig the road up to achieve what we wanted to do. Now, luckily for us, Stefan, who is best friends with everybody, knew the mayor really well. And on our behalf, he approached him to get his permission. And we were told that he'd come to see us for a visit to see what was required. I was really quite excited. I'd never had a local mayor come to my home. Turns out he was not just a lovely, friendly mayor. He was so helpful too. Not only did he give permission to do what needed to be done, but he sent out two of his workmen to dig up the road for us. They also repaired it all when we were finished. And get this, free of charge. So as I say, befriending your local mayor can be very, very beneficial. So life in the Charente, in rural France, for me, is good. Now, it certainly, as I said, hasn't been without its ups and downs. And moving to a new country and learning a new language can be tough. And you have to be ready for lots of different things, really, but certainly one of them being the French administration, the bureaucracy, and they love paperwork. Why use one piece of paper when you can use 27? That's the French motto. Even the French will agree with you with that. But my biggest piece of advice for you is if you are going to take the plunge, and I hope you do because it's an amazing way of life, then you really need to immerse yourself in the French community. Become part of your community and don't wait till you can speak French before you do it. I did this, like I really threw myself in there feet first and it made all the difference. The most frightening thing I've ever done was to join a French line dancing group. Now, line dancing here in France is huge. I think it might even be bigger here than it is in America. They love it. Anyway, I knew that the only way to speed up my French was going to be to push myself outside of my comfort zone. And I'd always loved the idea of line dancing. My mum used to do it years ago, and I always used to think it was kind of cool. So I was set about finding where the local line dancing group was, and I joined. Now, I am quite an outgoing person. But I don't think I have ever been as nervous as I was the first time I opened the door to the Salle de Fête in Fouquet. That's where the line dancing is held. Oh my goodness, I tentatively walked in. My heart was literally thumping because I could barely string a sentence together in French. And looking back, blimey, I have no idea how I managed it. But I did. The entire lesson was in French, but I managed. The people, oh, they were just fab. I didn't have the faintest idea what they were saying to me for probably the first few months, to be honest. But now I'm in the center of it all. I am part of it. I am in the gang. I go out for coffee with them. I do two classes now instead of one. I've been promoted. I've gone from debutante to novice, but I still do the debutante class because I love it. And I've got friends there. And I go to dances with the group. Oh, I just have a ball. But if I hadn't pushed myself outside my comfort zone, I wouldn't be doing that. And the French people are so welcoming. if you just let them in, if you meet them halfway. So if I can do it, so can you. But you've got to be willing to put yourself out there. So hopefully you're going to have a little bit more of an idea now about what life is really like in rural France, here in the Charente. But what about some of the other places? I don't know about you, but movies have always been a big source of inspiration for me. So in our next episode, I thought it would be fun to explore 8 places in France that have been featured locations in some of my favourite movies. So I wonder, will any of my favourite places be your favourite places? Will any of your favourite movies be on that list? Well, we will find out next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Life in Rural France podcast. Remember to visit lifeinruralfrance.com/podcast to get notified every time I release a new episode. And if you enjoy the podcast, I'd love you to leave me a review and subscribe. And don't forget to send in your questions for Listener of the Week, where I answer your questions about France in the show. So until the next time, I hope I filled your life with a sprinkle of French sunshine and a lot of French fun.